this is Walter Lawler speaking, and that's their description. We're very happy to again be able to bring to you a message from the Holy Scriptures. May I read a few verses from the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take him. The next few verses record some of the wonderful utterances which the Lord Jesus made in the presence of these officers who were sent to arrest him. So in verse 25 we read, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man speaks like this man. So instead of arresting the Lord Jesus as commanded to do, the officers were arrested by the wonderful utterances of Christ. They were impressed by his words as well as by his work, his miracles. Notice they did not say he was so strong we were unable to arrest him, or he was so well armed we were afraid to arrest him. Instead, the reason was that he spoke as no other man had ever spoken. Suppose a group of state policemen would give such a reason for not making an arrest. I am sure this is the only time that such a reason has ever been given for a failure to arrest a deposed offender of the law. Let us consider some features of the arresting words of the Lord Jesus, quote, who spoke with originality. From a human standpoint, he was untaught, which caused the officers the more to wonder. Moses was not a university town, as was Athens. He would not stop at the feet of a great teacher, such as Gamaliel, as did Paul of Tarsus, nor at the feet of a great Gentile philosopher, such as Plato. Hence, the learned scribes, Sadducees, and Pharisees, conscious of the high cost of their own education, exclaimed, how knoweth this man better, having never learned? A carpenter's shop had been his academy, but as he left the carpenter's bench, he displayed a degree of wisdom which was the wonder of those who heard him speak. His utterances were contrary to much of the accepted teaching of that day. The Jews were hoping for a Messiah to liberate the nation from the galling yoke of Rome and restore the glory of the dynasty of David. But this man made no attempt to incite a rebellion against the reigning Caesar. Hence, the scorning scribes, the skeptical Sadducees, the hypocritical Pharisees, and the politically minded Herodians had no use for Christ and his message. They had forgotten the prophecy of a suffering Messiah and the thinking only of the glory that should follow, that is, his millennial reign. We will also say that the speaking of Jesus Christ is contrary to the concept of all the great religious leaders of the past, who condemned idolatry in all forms. Christ's message of hope and assurance is in contrast to Hebrew's gospel of despair. How different is the gospel of grace from the elaborate code of ethics and morals devised by St. Jesus, a system which he admitted he himself was unable to follow. Nor did he speak as the Greek and Roman philosophers, such as Socrates, Plato, and Seneca. Having seen that the utterances of Christ were marked by originality, in the second place we notice, he spoke with authority, and not as the scribes and Pharisees. The world's teachers, in their long speech to the priest, are said to have practically reached this conclusion, there is nothing certain but uncertainty. The human mind is especially skilled in raising questions which is kind of adequately and satisfactorily answered. It has been well said that man's wisdom maps the frontiers of human knowledge very nicely, so it makes small advance into the territory of mystery. In striking contrast, there is never the slightest aspect of uncertainty in the teaching of the Lord Jesus. As another has expressed it, he did not argue, he announced. He never stops to prove, he proclaims. The Old Testament prophets prefaced their utterances with such expressions as, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord spake. Jesus begins with verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you. Moses was recognized by the Jews as the greatest teacher of the Old Testament. But the Lord Jesus claimed to be greater than Moses, greater than Jonah, greater than the Sabbath, and greater than the temple. And was greater than John the Baptist, who heralded his ministry. Yet, perhaps no teacher has been so misunderstood as Jesus. Teacher because many did not like to hear what he said. And the reason was that they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Did you know the truth? Jesus also said, I am the truth, and he that is of the truth heareth my voice. Being God manifest in flesh, his voice is the voice of God with supreme authority. Thus it is incumbent upon us to listen to what he says and to obey him. They say oneness is, but his speaking was marked by simplicity blended with profundity. His language was so simple that a child could understand his words, yet so profound that the wisest sages are still seeking to fathom the depth of its meaning. He answered the great questions that man has asked through the centuries, and is still asking, who are you? Is there a God? Yes, for he said, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Then someone is sure to inquire, if there is a God, can a man know it? Again the answer of the Lord is, he that has seen me has seen the Father. This was in response to Philip's request, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Sometimes discouraged people inquire, has God forgotten the way? Listen to the Lord's answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Surely that answer is abundantly sufficient. Does God judge sin? Is a question in the minds of many. Christ's answer is, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The next question naturally follows, will God punish sinners? Listen carefully to his answer. If any man offend thee, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, even a fire that shall never be quenched, for the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In the light of these answers, who would not ask, can sinners escape this day? Yes, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you mean to say then that sins can be forgiven? Yes, for he who spaketh never man spake first. The Son of Man hath power and oath to forgive sins. Dear listener, did you know your sins forgiven? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, so he might be able to righteously forgive you. One more question which has troubled many, and perhaps some of you who are listening. Is there anything after death for those who trust Christ, saving of conscience in God? Can we ever forget his wonderful answer? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you under my staff, for where I am, there you may be also. Think of being with that blessed one, where he is, in the Father's house, with all the Father's family. Yes, not only is there something beyond, but there is still, there is someone beyond, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us upon the cross. We shall see him in all his eternal glory and be like him and forever with him. See the simple statements about himself, the seven I am of Jesus, also found in John's Gospel. No intricate and complicated terms are used, the words acquired in the first world understand, yet none of us have yet comprehended all that he meant by them. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Are you feeding your soul on this bread? He next said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Stand somewhere, my friends, in the darkness, so you may have such a marvelous light. Do you see on the outside of everything really worthwhile? Listen, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you enter today? Speaking of pasture, he then said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd given his life for the sheep, and he did at the cross. Before he died, our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. Wonderful are the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way, the path to God is a token, even Jesus the Christ. And the final I am is, I am the true vine. Believers are granted at that time, receiving their life from him. I trust that you have not been listening merely to D.M. Lambert, but rather to him who spoke as never man spoke, and that you may believe what he said and accept him as your Savior if you have not already done so. That alone, Lord Jesus, can keep peace in time. That is no the sorrow of a human heart. That is came some glory through thy heart to win, and in love for sinners, suffered once for sin. There is none, Lord Jesus, there is none like thee. For the broken-hearted, there is none like thee. It is Georgian Lambert's vision, whose remain came from announcements to follow.